Good afternoon, and welcome to the Terry Lake Action Fund Radio Show, Officer's Oath, for today, October 15th, 2012. Today we have an interesting show. We want to lead off for the first 30 minutes with a recording done by Kevin Lehman at catchkevin.com. We featured his site on the top of the Terry Lakin site for months now, his 51 facts to dispute Barack Obama's eligibility to be president. And we suggest that you listen carefully to this because he's reading an essay by another author that just shows how improbable it is that anything about Barack Obama's life is true. When we get done with this at the half hour, former retired commander Charles Kirshner will be joining us. He has been dogged in his pursuit of information, and he's got a lot of things to say and a lot of things you need to hear. So for the next 26 minutes, we're going to go ahead and listen to Kevin, and David, go ahead and run that, and we'll be back in about 30.
Okay. As you know, I've written several in-depth articles about Barack Obama on my website, a couple of which have gotten shared over 100,000 times on the Internet. But recently, I came across an article by Don Frederick, the author of The Obama Timeline in Colony 14, that really puts into focus what most Americans still think of as happenstance and circumstantial evidence surrounding Obama's parentage, his upbringing, and ties to radical Islam, communism, and Marxism. And if you don't know Don Frederick, like Jerome Corsi, Don is extremely thorough and has worked tirelessly 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, since Obama was campaigning over 4 years ago to uncover the facts about a man whose entire life is shrouded in secrecy, yet somehow has managed to keep the mainstream media at bay and rise all the way to the level of the President of the United States of America. To say that's astonishing doesn't even begin to describe the monumental feat this man, that so many people know so little about, has accomplished. Now listen to this article and listen to it very closely. It's so good, in fact, that I'm going to read it verbatim, and it's a little lengthy. And then I'm going to give you some food for thought as we near the most important presidential election of our lifetime. So here we go. It's entitled, Can It All Be Coincidence? By Don Frederick. As I noted in the introduction to my book, The Obama Timeline, a jury at a murder trial will often find the accumulated circumstantial evidence so overwhelming that a guilty verdict is obvious, even though there may be no witness to the crime. The jurors in the Scott Peterson trial believed the collection of evidence more than they believed Scott Peterson. Among other things, the jury thought that being arrested with $15,000 in cash, recently dyed hair, a newly grown goatee, 4 cell phones, camping equipment, a map to a new girlfriend's house, a gun, and his brother's driver's license certainly did not paint a picture of a grieving husband who had nothing to do with his pregnant wife's disappearance and murder. In the 4 years I've been gathering information about and evidence against Barack Hussein Obama, I have encountered hundreds of coincidences that strike me as amazing. None of those coincidences by themselves may mean much, but taken as a whole, it is almost impossible to believe they were all the result of chance. Consider the Obama-related coincidences. Obama just happened to know 60s far-left radical revolutionary William Ayers, whose father just happened to be Thomas Ayers, who just happened to be a close friend of Obama's communist mentor, Frank Marshall Davis, who just happened to work at the communist-sympathizing Chicago Defender with Vernon Jarrett, who just happened to later become the father-in-law of Iranian-born leftist Valerie Jarrett, who Obama just happened to choose as his closest White House advisor, and who just happened to have been CEO of Habitat Company, which just happened to manage public housing in Chicago, which just happened to get millions of dollars from the Illinois State Legislature, and which just happened not to properly maintain the housing, which eventually just happened to require demolition. Valerie Jarrett also just happened to work for the city of Chicago and just happened to hire Michelle LaVon Robinson, later Obama, who just happened to have worked at the Sidley Austin law firm, where former fugitive from the FBI Bernadine Dorn also just happened to work, and where Barack Obama just happened to get a summer job. Bernadine Dorn just happened to be married to William Ayers, with whom she just happened to have hidden from the FBI at a San Francisco marina, along with Donald Warden, who just happened to change his name to Khalid Al-Mansour. And Warden and Al-Mansour just happened to be a mentor of Black Panther Party founders Huey Newton and Bobby Seale, and a close associate of Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. And Al-Mansour just happened to be financial advisor to a Saudi prince, who just happened to donate cash to Harvard, for which Obama just happened to get a critical letter of recommendation from Percy Sutton, who just happened to have been the attorney for Malcolm X, who just happened to know Kenyan politician Tom Maboya, who just happened to be a close friend of Barack Hussein Obama Sr., who just happened to meet Malcolm X when he traveled to Kenya. Obama Sr. just happened to have his education at the University of Hawaii paid for by the Lubbock Literacy Institute, which just happened to have been supported by Elizabeth Mooney Kirk, who just happened to be a friend of Malcolm X, who just happened to have been associated with the Nation of Islam, which was later headed by Louis Farrakhan, who just happens to live very close to Obama's Chicago mansion, which also just happens to be located very close to the residence of William Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, who just happened to have been occasional babysitters for Malia and Sasha Obama, whose parents just happened not to mind exposing their daughters to bomb-making communists. After attending Occidental College and Columbia University, where he just happened to have foreign Muslim roommates, Obama moved to Chicago to work for the Industrial Areas Foundation, an organization that just happened to have been founded by Marxist and radical agitator Saul the Red Alinsky, author of Rules for Radicals, who just happened to be the topic of Hillary Rodham Clinton's thesis at Wesley College, and Obama's $25,000 salary at IAF just happened to be funded by a grant from the Woods Fund, which founded by the Woods family, whose Sahara Coal Company just happened to provide coal to Commonwealth Edison, whose CEO just happened to be Thomas Ayers, whose son William Ayers just happened to serve on the board of the Woods Fund along with Obama. Obama also worked on voter registration drives in Chicago in the 1980s and just happened to work with leftist political groups like the Democratic Socialist of America, DSA, and Socialist International, SI, through which Obama met Carl Davidson, who just happened to travel to Cuba during the Vietnam War to sabotage the U.S. war effort, and who just happened to be a former member of the SDS and a member of the Committees of Correspondence for Democracy and Socialism, which just happened to sponsor a 2002 anti-war rally at which Obama spoke, and which just happened to have been organized by Marilyn Katz, a former SDS activist and later public relations consultant who just happened to be a longtime friend of Obama's political hatchet man, David Axelrod. Obama joined Trinity United Church of Christ, whose pastor was Reverend Jeremiah Wright, a fiery orator who just happened to preach Marxism and black liberation theology, and who delivered anti-white, anti-Jew, and anti-American sermons, which Obama just happened never to hear because he just happened to miss church only on the days when Wright was at his most enthusiastic, and Obama just happened never to notice that Oprah Winfrey left the church because it was too radical, and just happened never to notice that the church gave the vile anti-Semitic Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan a Lifetime Achievement Award. Although no one had ever heard of him at the time, Obama just happened to receive an impossible-to-believe $125,000 advance to write a book about race relations, which he just happened to fail to write while using the cash to vacation in Bali with his wife, Michelle. And despite his record of non-writing, he just happened to receive a second advance for $40,000 from another publisher, and he eventually completed a manuscript called Dreams from My Father, which just happened to strongly reflect the writing style of William Ayers, who just happened to trample on an American flag for the cover photograph of the popular Chicago magazine, which Obama just happened never to see, even though it appeared on newsstands throughout the city. Obama was hired by law firm Minor, Banhill & Galland, which just happened to specialize in negotiating state government contracts to develop low-income housing, and which just happened to deal with now-imprisoned Tony Rezko and his firm Rezar, and with slumlord Valerie Jarrett, and the law firm's Judson Minor just happened to have been a classmate of Bernadine Dorn, wife of William Ayers. In 1994, Obama represented Acorn and another plaintiff in a lawsuit against Citibank for denying mortgages to blacks. And the lawsuit just happened to result in banks being blackmailed into approving subprime loans for poor credit risks, a trend which just happened to spread nationwide and which just happened to lead to the collapse of the housing bubble, which just happened to help Obama defeat John McCain in the 2008 presidential election. In 1996, Obama ran for the Illinois State Senate and joined the New Party, which just happened to promote Marxism. And Obama was supported by Dr. Quentin Yang, a socialist who just happened to support a government takeover of the healthcare system. In late 1999, Obama purportedly engaged in homosexual activities and cocaine snorting in the back of a limousine with a man named Larry Sinclair, who claims he was contacted in late 2007 by Donald Young, who just happened to be the gay choir director of Obama's Chicago church and who shared information with Sinclair about Obama. And Young just happened to be murdered on December 23rd, 2007, just weeks after Larry Bland, another gay member of the church, just happened to be murdered. And both murders just happened to have never been solved. In 2008, Sinclair held a press conference to discuss his claims and just happened to be arrested immediately after the event based on a warrant issued by Delaware Attorney General Beau Biden, who just happens to be the son of Joe Biden. In 2003, Obama and his wife attended a dinner in honor of Rashid Khalidi, who just happened to be a former PLO operative, harsh critic of Israel, and advocate of Palestinian rights, and who Obama claims he does not know, even though the Obamas just happened to have dined more than once at the home of Khalidi and his wife Mona, and just happened to have used them as occasional babysitters. Obama reportedly praised Khalidi at the decidedly anti-Semitic event, which William Ayers just happened to also attend. In the event Obama pretends he never attended, was sponsored by the Arab American Action Network, to which Obama just happened to have funneled cash while serving on the board of the Woods Fund with William Ayers, and one speaker at the dinner remarked that if Palestinians cannot secure a return of their land, Israel will never see a day of peace. And entertainment at the dinner included a Muslim children's dance whose performances just happened to include simulated beheadings with fake swords and stomping on American, Israeli, and British flags. And Obama allegedly told the audience that Israel has no God-given right to occupy Palestine, and there has been genocide against the Palestinian people by the Israelis. And the Los Angeles Times has a videotape of the event, but just happens to refuse to make it public. In the 2004 Illinois Democrat primary race for the U.S. Senate, frontrunner Blair Hall just happened to be forced out of the race after David Axelrod just happened to manage to get Hall's sealed divorce records unsealed. which just happened to enable Obama to win the primary so he could face popular Republican Jack Ryan, whose sealed child custody records from his divorce just happened to become unsealed, forcing Ryan to withdraw from the race, which just happened to enable the unqualified Obama to waltz into the U.S. Senate, where after a mere 143 days of work, he just happened to decide he was qualified to run for president of the United States. Obama just happened to save $300,000 on the purchase of a $1.65 million Chicago mansion, for which he deposited only $1,000 in earnest money, while the seller's adjacent empty lot, which was appraised at no more than $500,000, just happened to be sold at the inflated price of $625,000 to Rita Rezko, who just happened to earn only $37,000 per year working for Cook County government, and who just happened to be married to Tony Rezko, who just happened to be Obama's main money man for his political campaigns, and who only days before the Obama mansion purchase just happened to obtain a $3.5 million loan from wealthy Iraqi Nadmi Achi, who just happened to have been kicked out of Iraq, and who just happened to have been convicted of corruption charges in France, and who just happened to ask Rezko to ask then U.S. Senator Obama to help him obtain a visa to travel to the United States. Rita Rezko just happened to borrow the money for the $625,000 empty lot from the Mutual Bank of Harvey, which just happened to be run by Tony Rezko's pal, Amrish Mahajan, whose wife, Anita, just happened to have been charged with fraudulently receiving $2 million in Illinois taxpayer dollars for drug tests never performed by her company, KK Bioscience, which just happened to have a no-bid contract with the state, and whose computers just happened to disappear right before investigators arrived to take them away for evidence. Obama just happened to obtain a $1.32 million mortgage for his mansion, even though the payments of $8,000 per month, plus at least $1,500 per month in property taxes, exceeded 50% of his $162,100 U.S. Senate salary income, and even though Michelle Obama was claiming that she and her husband were still paying off substantial student loans and were struggling to pay for piano lessons for their daughters, one of whom just happens to look remarkably like one of the daughters of Malcolm X. Obama just happened to obtain his mansion mortgage from Northern Trust Bank, whose board of directors just happened to include Susan Crown, who just happened to be part of the wealthy Crown family, which just happened to donate to Obama's campaigns, and which just happened to have ownership in defense contractor General Dynamics Corporation. And the Crown family just happened to sit on the board of energy company Exelon, formerly known as Commonwealth Edison, which just happened to have had Thomas Ayers as its CEO. And the Crown family also owned the Maytag Appliance Company, which just happened to move its operations to Mexico after its employees just happened to donate to Obama's campaign after he just happened to pledge that he would keep their jobs in Galesburg, Illinois. In June 2005, just months after Obama became a U.S. senator, Michelle Obama just happened to be named a non-executive director of the board of Treehouse Foods, a supplier of Walmart, for a salary of $51,200 in 2005 and $101,083 in 2006. And she just happened to be given 7,500 Treehouse stock options worth approximately $72,375, even though she just happened to know nothing about the private sector or running a business. In 2006, Obama pushed for a $1 million earmark for the University of Chicago, and his wife Michelle just happened to be promoted to Vice President of Community and External Affairs for the hospitals, with a salary increase from $121,900 to $316,962, And she just happened to receive public relations help from Obama's political strategist, David Axelrod, whose mother just happened to write for a communist newspaper. In 2006, Sarah P. Herlihy, an associate of the Chicago law firm of Kirkland & Ellis, whose employees later contributed $87,722 to Obama's presidential campaign, and whose partner, Bruce I. Edelson, just happened to be a member of Obama's campaign finance committee, just happened to write a paper calling for the elimination of the natural-born citizen requirement in the U.S. Constitution. Obama just happened to visit Kenya in 2006 to support his cousin, Raila Odinga, a Muslim socialist candidate for president who just happened to have ties to both Al-Qaeda and Libya's Muammar Gaddafi, and who just happened to have been educated in communist East Germany, and who just happened to name his son Fidel, and who just happened to plan on establishing Sharia Muslim law in Kenya, and whose activities prompted the Kenyan government to lodge an official protest of Obama's passport abuse and misconduct, and Obama's actions just happened to have been denounced by the U.S. State Department as being in direct opposition to U.S. national security. And after Odinga, for whom Obama just happened to have raised $950,000, lost the election, his Muslim followers just happened to burn Christian women and children alive in a church where they had sought refuge. In 2006, Obama endorsed Alexei Genalias in his race for Illinois state treasurer and stated that he is, quote, one of the most outstanding young men I could ever hope to meet, end quote. Even though Genalias, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, just happened to be only 29 years old, and even though his family's Broadway bank just happened to finance Chicago crime figures like Michael Jaws Durango, a Chicago thug with convictions for bookmaking and promoting prostitution, and even though virtually all of Chicago's Democrat politicians were keeping their distance from Genalias, whose reputation was so questionable he even failed to get the endorsement of the Chicago Democrat Party, which just happens to almost never be concerned about questionable reputations. Obama's mother, Stanley Ann Dunham, once worked for the Ford Foundation's Asia program, which just happened to be run by Peter Geithner, who just happened to be the father of Timothy Geithner, who just happened to neglect to pay Social Security taxes on much of his income, which just happened to somehow qualify him to be Obama's Treasury Secretary. I mean, during the 2008 campaign, Obama's passport records just happened to have been illegally searched by an employee of a firm headed by John O. Brennan and Lieutenant Quarles Harris Jr., who was cooperating with federal investigators in connection with the incident, just happened to be found with a bullet in his head, and the murder just happened never to be solved, and Obama later just happened to make Brennan his terrorism and intelligence advisor. On election night in 2008 in Chicago's Grant Park, Obama just happened to wear a black suit and a red tie, and his older daughter just happened to wear a red dress, and his younger daughter just happened to wear a stark black dress, and his wife Michelle just happened to wear an arguably unattractive black dress that appeared to have a giant red X design, which just happened to prompt some to wonder if their clothing just happened to denote black power, communism, and Malcolm X, and at the very least prompted others to wonder why anyone would have his daughter wear a jet black dress for a celebratory occasion, or where one could just even just happen to find a store that sells black dresses for little girls. From election night forward, there are hundreds of other just happens, not the least of which is the long-form birth certificate released by Obama in April 2011, which just happened to consist of multiple image layers, including various objects which can be separated and rotated with computer software, which just happens to be impossible if a birth certificate is merely scanned and not computer-constructed by a forger. I could go on, but you get the idea. P.S. If Obama just happens to win re-election on November 6th, remember that hyperinflation just happens to be the inescapable consequence of printing trillions of dollars to cover massive government deficits. End of article. How incredible is that? It puts Obama's meteoric ascendancy to the White House and all the so-called circumstantial evidence about his Muslim upbringing and ties to leftist radicals into some clear perspective, doesn't it? Where there is smoke, there is fire. And after Corsi's bombshell of an article pointing to Obama's pre-wedding wedding ring, I hope more and more Americans wake up and come to their senses before November 6th. If this man is reelected, the United States of America is finished. Sure, we'll still exist, but as a Democratic Republic in name only. At best, we'll be a quasi-socialist, entitlement-addicted, politically correct republic. And at worst, a nation of neutered Neanderthals in steep decline, hated by a Marxist despot who was able to exploit our woefully uneducated and naive electorate, waltz right into the highest office in the land, erase 235 years of American exceptionalism, commit treason with impunity, abet our enemies, and destroy the United States of America from within. It's your choice, America. Choose wisely. I'm Kevin Lehman, and until next time, Godspeed.
Officer's Oath is a story that everyone should read. It is not a birther story. It is rather the story of a man, Terry Lakin, who made a principled decision to adhere to the oath he willingly took as an officer in the United States Army. A decision that led to imprisonment, loss of pay, benefits, and his job. This is a book that will give you a deepened appreciation for a man who took his oath seriously. An oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. It will remind you that one man or woman can have an impact if it will stand up for what is right. It will demand that you work to defend what makes this country great and good and bring it back to its senses. And finally, it will motivate you to consider getting involved in the political process at any level and participate in the work of running this great country. Please visit officersoath.com today and pre-order the book now. That's officersoath.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Hey, and welcome back to the second half of the Terry Lakin Action Fund show, Officer's Oath. Today we have brought back a guest from many shows, Commando Charles Kirshner, who's retired, who's invested his retirement in this and his grandchildren, sometimes probably more this, right, Charles?
I always find room for my family and the grandchildren. I mean, they can pick up the phone and get me in an instant. So there's always room for them. But as far as my personal project, this has been it for the last 4.5 years to expose the usurper-in-chief in the White House.
And you have been just incredibly diligent at just driving a ton of evidentiary news and information. Before we go into the questions, just let's give everybody your two websites, because we feature them constantly in emails and on the top of the Terry Lakin Action Fund site. So give us the two URLs, Charles.
All right, my blog, where I do my writing and put out what I consider to be interesting news in this battle against the usurper and the fraud, is commanderkirchner.wordpress.com, and commander is abbreviated CDR. So it's CDR Kirchner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, that's all one word, cdrkirchner.wordpress.com, and from there there's a link to my website, protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org, and where you can see all the activities I've done for the last 4.5 years and three and a half years of newspaper advertising and all kinds of things. good information on Natural Born Citizen and what it really meant to the founders and framers.
And we have sent a number of people there. Like I said, if you just go to terrylakin.com, at the top there's a block of links of key eligibility resources. So, Charles, we're coming up just a few, really kind of scary, just a few weeks before this election. And, you know, we listened to that audio we just listened to from Kevin Lehman.
Yes.
Can it all be coincidence? What are your thoughts on that? I know you listened to it. I know you pumped it out more than probably almost anything you've done recently.
I've listened to it more than once. Every time I listen to it, something new sinks in out of it, but it's just amazing. I mean, it all just happened. I mean, this is when you debate an OBOT and a blogger or verbally on, you know, telephone or radio or whatever, on one particular point they have an excuse for it. But when you listen to that audio of Don Frederick's writing, of the hundreds of items that point to fraud and deceit and collusion and conspiracy by the people behind Obama to put Obama on that fence post. He's a fence post turtle. Somebody put him there. You just cannot erase all of it and say it's all a coincidence, it's all an accident, it's all a typographical error, it's all some government bureaucrat making a mistake to explain all these different things. That is why when I read Don Frederick's piece and I heard it put to voice on that radio show, I thought, this has got to get out to people. It's just amazing the depth. I mean, there's conspiracy theories and there's real conspiracies, but it's amazing in this case. This case is a real conspiracy to undermine the United States Constitution and this country and our economic system. And the depth of the conspiracy and the number of people with militant anti-American histories and actions behind them who are behind and around and partnered with Obama today. I mean, it's like that guy in the Libyan security guy said the Taliban is inside the building. Well, the communist conspiracy that's been in this country since the post-World War II era is inside the White House. I mean, you can just look at the people he surrounds himself with. I mean, it's just, and that audio recording makes it perfectly clear. The problem we're having dealing with, Marco, is it reminds me of a quote that J. Edgar Hoover said back in the 50s, and it was published in Elks magazine in the 56. And this is the problem we're having with the American people. They are just not used to dealing with conspiracies, real ones. And this is what he said. The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced in our myth. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse such a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. And that's what J. Edgar Hoover said back in the 50s, dealing with communist conspiracies back then. People just cannot believe that there's a network of people that are out to do this. And it's true, there are. And Obama is currently the fence post turtle on the top of the pyramid who is their front man for this conspiracy to undermine our Constitution, to destroy our country and our economic system using the cloud pivoting strategy and Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals for tactics. They are out to bring this country down, and his actions prove it.
And I guess the question I always have to ask myself is, to what end? You know, when you look at these despotic governments that arise, there's a handful of people that may do well. Everybody else gets killed, and the entire state of the country just dissolves into just a horrific, you know, an area of want and need. And I mean, what is the purpose?
The purpose is not to put Obama into power. The purpose is to destroy the power of America. They see the United States. You got to go see the movie 2016, Obama's America.
Which I did.
Okay,
I did.
Great. And you understand part of the philosophy of Obama and the people behind him. They want to bring the power of this country down. They want to destroy America's power. And our message, the freedom, liberty, pursuit of happiness, they want to destroy that. They want to bring it down, and they don't really care so much as to who's going to take over after they succeed in destroying America and our power and our military, because at that point, then you'll have the international socialists and communists fighting the Islamic radicals who are now both united to bring down this country. Their goal right now is just to destroy the country, our economic system, and our military power. After that, they'll sort out the pieces and they'll be fighting over the spoils. But meanwhile, the world will be a far better, far worse place, because it will not have the shining symbol of the United States, which brought, you know, from the founders and framers, a new form of government that the people, the government serves at the will of the people, not the other way around, and the Constitution is the guiding law of our land. So they just want to destroy all that. And after that, they'll worry about picking up the pieces. So I don't see this as a goal to keep Obama in power, but as a goal to destroy the country. And you have the network of the Students for Democratic Society, of which Bill Ayers and Michael Klonsky and that Ward fellow who became that Arab-named guy who helped get him into Harvard College, and all these people are still networked together, working to bring down this country. They have a Students for Democratic Society has a follow-on group of these mature members of, I think it's called the Movement for a Democratic Society, MDS. These are the same people that are in that were on SDS 50 years ago.
You know, it is remarkable, and you were talking about the fight against Islam, Muslim world, that there's that horrific story from the last week or so, that little girl that was shot on the school bus.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because she wanted women to get an education. And not only was it not just one rogue person, but the organization, the Taliban organization, has said, we are going to kill this girl. You know, and I've had these discussions with friends who go, oh, no, you know what you're talking about. No, go read their documents. Their goal is for everyone to be under this, some version of this horrific kind of law, because they say that's what honors, you know, their faith. And, I mean, it is. People should be scared to death over this.
Well, the international socialists, though, they would be fighting against the Islamists at that point because they want a godless society, you see. But right now they're united together to just destroy the power center that is stopping both of them from taking over the world. And that is the United States of America, our ideals, our Constitution, and our military power. And that is what Obama is trying to destroy. His first goal is to destroy the economic system, and with that, the economic power gone, the ability to support our military. He's spending us into bankruptcy. That's the Cloward-Piven strategy. If you know about that, that was put forward by two professors at Columbia University, where Obama allegedly learned political science, although nobody even can remember him being there. But to keep overloading the economic system with more and more entitlements until it goes bankrupt. And at that point, a manufactured crisis is created, and a socialist leader steps forward and takes over the whole system and the Constitution, and everything else is gone.
Now, we are, you know, of course, those of us who have worked on this issue now for 3+ years or more, still are just incredulous. You sent this piece out yesterday. I read through it. PBS documentary show, producers find no evidence of Obama attended Columbia. This is one of these phenomenal mysteries. You know, I'm sure if I went to your hometown, I'd find 100 people that say, ah, yeah, Chuck, I know Chuck. You know, we used to go out and spit on light bulbs or whatever. You know, I mean, nobody knows this guy. What's your thought on that? You read it. What was the gist of it?
Well, Reverend Manning, who was at Terry Lakin's court martial, also had an investigation into that and a trial at Otlaw Church up there in New York, and they came to the same conclusion. And they're right. They're right near that university in New York, and they could find nobody in the community that remembers Obama being there. I think he wasn't going to classes if he was there at all. I mean, he was like Occidental in his dreams from my father. He was just a pot smoking doper then. You know, either that or it's totally fabricated the whole thing. Because when you listen to that audio, you just see how everything has just been magically, and it just happens for him. It just didn't happen. He's the fence post turtle. He's the front man, and everybody else is putting him forward as far as they could push him. I don't think it all started out with thinking Obama could become president. I think he started out, well, maybe we can advance this guy into the Senate somewhere and get a National Security Post Committee, and we can find out all kinds of top-secret information and infiltrate the system and push him. But they want to push him as far as they could, and just all the stars came together. You know, he ran, and the enabling media, which is all filled with SDSer-type people who want to pursue the same objective of bringing down America to some kind of social justice level where everybody gets guaranteed an equal outcome. They're all in that media, and we also got the union of the homosexual agenda too. Obama feeds into that because I personally believe he's bisexual, and of course Larry Sinclair believes he's a homosexual. So you got another entity there of the social forces trying to push Obama forward because he promotes their ideals. And I read somewhere that 40% of the staffers that work in Congress are either gay or some kind of alternative lifestyle supporters or participators, and you know that a good part of the actual Congress are. I mean, maybe not 40%, but a substantial percentage of the actual members are involved in all kinds of internal alternative lifestyles. So, but anyway, this whole thing is so monstrous, and that's why the words of J. Edgar Hoover ring when I read them. That's the problem. The American people cannot believe we're at the receiving end of such a monstrous, real conspiracy. And that's been going on so long. Most people cannot believe that people would lie to their face. And that's what we're seeing in the debates. You know, we're seeing Biden lie to our face. We're seeing Saul Alinsky tactics, ridicule. Laughing, interrupting, they just play to the worst side of humanity as far as their objectives and the way they treat people who are trying to talk to them sensibly. And you know that's the problem, is you cannot really talk to these people sensibly. They don't care. They just want to bring down the country.
Yeah, it's, you know, as we have continued to work with Terry's issue, and people have read the book, and it's been very frustrating, because we've tried to get him on some major press, and like we were supposed to be on Huckabee, and they canceled it, they wouldn't return our calls after that. You know, just everyone who's read the book goes, whoa, you know, this
media
is something.
And won't put people on
right.
that can talk sensibly about this. They just want to keep ridiculing us.
Well, we're coming up on our third quarter break, so David, if you're ready, I'll send it over to you, and we'll come back in a couple minutes and finish up with Commander Kirshner.
Officer's Oath is a story that everyone should read. It is not a birther story. It is rather the story of a man, Terry Lakin, who made a principled decision to adhere to the oath he willingly took as an officer in the United States Army. It is a story of the personal consequences of that decision and the far-reaching effect it has had on the eligibility issue. Jack Cashel, author of numerous books, assisted Terry in telling his story. David Mercado, a New York-based author, has interviewed and written vignettes of the many people who contributed to Terry's case. The book is a complete story of Terry's decision, the immediate consequences, and the long-range effect of Terry's choice. Please visit officersoath.com today and pre-order the book now. That's officersoath.com.
And listen tight. This is Dick Brower from Special Operations Speak. Join me and other Special Operations veterans on America's Web Radio Wednesdays, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We'll examine how the White House is putting all of us in danger. The Special Operations Speaks radio show. And don't forget to check our website, www.specialoperationsspeaks.com. Let's take back America on November 6th.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to our third quarter of our show today with Commander Charles Kirshner, retired, sort of, because he's been very busy for the last 3.5-4 years, working to fight the, as he calls it, usurper-in-chief, and particularly started with the eligibility issue and has spooled out to so many other areas. So welcome back, Charles. So let's go back to eligibility. People tend to lose sight of this in the midst of the huge amount of information pouring out about Obama. let's go back to that core issue. Where are you on that?
Yeah, that's what got me involved initially, because I didn't know anything about this guy. But as soon as I started researching him back in the early or in the, or spring of 2008, and then the issue came up that his father was not a U.S. citizen, and that birth certificate, the short form, appeared in June of 2008, then that's when I decided I've got to, hey, this is not right. I mean, the man has to be a natural-born citizen. Why are the powers to be just ignoring this? And that's how I got into this. But then after I got into it, I got into all the criminal identity fraud and forged documents, and then the communist conspiracy that's been going on behind this guy for decades. That all came out over the last 4.5 years. But the eligibility issue is his father was not an American citizen when Obama was born. His father was never an American citizen. In fact, Obama is the first person sitting in the Oval Office whose father was never even an immigrant to this country. Can you just fathom that? His father was we're a nation of immigrants, but Obama's father was not one. That statement can never be said about any other president. Every other president's father was, you know, lived in America. You know what I mean? That it's you know, in the pre-USA founders and framers were exempt by the grandfather clause in the Constitution, which exempted them from the natural born citizen clause. But they also had parents who were born in the colonies. You know, they lived in the colonies. Lived in the colonies. But for Obama's father, he never was even a legal resident of this continent. There's no other person in the history of this country that was sitting in the Oval Office that statement applies to. Obama has pushed the envelope as to what a natural-born citizen is supposed to be way off the cliff. And the Republican Party is just as much as responsible as the Democrats for this happening, because they wanted to run their own non-natural-born citizens, such as Marco Rubio, Senator Santorum, Governor Jindal, I believe Nikki Haley down in the Carolinas has potential problem, and there's others out there, other darlings. So the Republican Party was, and McCain had his issues because he was born in Panama. So the two parties kind of got together and said, we can't get it through Congress like they tried for 10 years, so because the American people know this is a national security clause. And we're just going to ignore it for this election and run McCain and run Obama, both of whom have issues, so nobody will talk about it. And that's what happened. But look who we got from the Democrats. We got a person who's not only not a natural-born citizen and believes in being a citizen of the world, but he's out to destroy this country.
Right, and then on top of that, we then have just an endless stream of malfeasance on the part of the administration, legally, behaviorally, more lies, more fact, mm-hmm. More misrepresentations. Mm-hmm. I just honestly, Joseph Ritter, how could anyone who is the least bit informed to even consider voting for the man? And we haven't even touched the issues yet of the economy, which you touched on, his approach to abortion, his attacks on religion. Any one of these things would have destroyed a Republican or a conservative Democrat.
They've backed themselves into a corner. First, the RNC went along with this, thinking McCain was going to beat Obama easily. So, the issue with Obama, it's going to be irrelevant because we're going to beat him. Then after they didn't beat him, they made that Faustian pact with the devil and lost, then all of a sudden, we can't do anything about this because of A, our own complicity, and B, Obama will start race riots. Those cities will burn because the election cannot be overturned because he's not eligible under the Constitution. So they converted the United States from a constitutional republic where you have eligibility as to who can be president to a pure democracy, and a popular vote just determines who, 51% determines who can be the president. And they overruled the Constitution, and the Congress, being controlled by the Republican Democratic parties, wouldn't do anything about it because they were complicit in it. And George Bush started this Homeland Security briefings of all the major media people saying, you cannot talk about this. This, as more and more facts came out about Obama's ineligibility, in the fall of 2008, the Homeland Security Department, ordered by Bush, Chertoff, and the Vice President, and orchestrated by Cheney, they shut this down. Nobody can talk about it. So now, he's in office, and 4 years later, that conspiracy, that cone of silence, is still on, and they just will not admit they made a hell of a bad mistake with this guy, because they were complicit with letting him run, getting him in there, and then the cover up.
Yeah, and that is what's extraordinary, is how deep and wide, you know, does this go? And I mean, last week we talked to Congressman
Andy
Harris.
Now we're faced with a guy we're worried about the possibility of him stealing the election, because I don't think he's going to win if we have a fair election.
Yeah, and last week we talked to Congressman Harris, who basically said, you know, when I had asked him about the press, he said, you know, he said, who will show up? He said, and he gave me some examples in private of just outrageous things that were done by even reporters who were given stories. They ran them down to the DNC instead of reporting on them. He said just they simply are they've completely lost their way on this.
They're complicit. They're the ones that they enabled Obama to be put in there. They were his darling. They don't want to admit they made a mistake either with this man. Look what they did to Sheriff Arpaio with the conclusive evidence he put out that they came there, the media, to attack the messenger, not to address the evidence. They would do the same thing to your senator down there.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate that we don't have statesmen that don't care and will stand up and battle the media back. You know what I mean? That's they're being intimidated by these guys. I don't know why 10 of them or so couldn't get together and stand up as a group, but if one stands up, it's like a whack-a-mole. They just immediately pounce on them and knock them back.
Well, I keep trying to find one who will just stand up, you know, in Congress or call a press conference and say, look, I don't know one way or the other, but the fact is no one knows. I'm calling for an investigation. I mean, they've investigated so many other ridiculous things, mm-hmm. It just makes me ill. And to also think of how much time we've all put in this. So, you know, in Terry's
military
book.
Man, forget about the birth certificate, forget about right. The Social Security number, and let's look at the draft registration card. Why in the world doesn't anybody address that in Congress? That is an obvious forged, backdated draft registration card. There's no question.
Which would put any of our butts in prison in about
exactly.
2 minutes.
Exactly. And as a commander-in-chief of the military, who either was going here as a foreign student and thus didn't have, in the United States as a foreign national and didn't have to register for the draft, or just was a draft dodger and said, screw it, I'm not going to register for the draft. And then when he decided to get into national politics, had to cover that base, and they had the draft registration card was entered into the system through the Chicago office, where conveniently Obama and his cronies and his communist network live and reside and control just about everything, instead of coming in through the Hawaiian or California district offices, which is the way it should have been if he registered when he was 18 years old.
So you're right. I mean, this is something that when I've talked to people, they're like, this is impossible. This couldn't be. But it is. And
It just happened. It's all coincidence.
And for better or worse, we still have upcoming elections, and the very first thing that needs to be done is simply to make sure he is soundly
enough elected. Let me give you a piece of anecdotal evidence. I live up here in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania. And in 2008, the Obama signed for everywhere. There were like two or three of them for every one for McCain. This time, I just been looking so subtly. I cannot find a single Obama sign in my little town here of 18,000 people. And I drive around to all the malls and things. I haven't seen a single one yet, and I've seen a Romney Ryan sign on about every block. Now, that's just anecdotal, but that's a sign to me that the people who went for Obama on the hope and change BS and to give an affirmative action president, basically, to give this guy a chance, combined with white guilt from, you know, they keep throwing up that we're, you know, all responsible for slavery and all that kind of stuff. They gave this guy a chance on words, and they see now his actions are out to destroy this country and made it far worse than what it was when he was given the reins of our government. So I think there's a groundswell of change. The media is not reporting it. The polls are biased. And any fair election, Obama's going to lose. But I'm worried about the electronic voting machines, no records of how you voted, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that is incredulous to me that to have a role in the most important part of a representative republic, people have fought so diligently against people of even a modicum of identity. And then on top of that, these that horrendous video that came out a week or so ago that that undercover piece with the woman voting in two, saying she voted in two states, and the girl, oh yeah, that's funny, huh?
Yeah,
I mean, oh my gosh,
you
combine that.
Anything goes if you're cheating to get a socialist, liberal, progressive in. Anything goes. So Alinsky said that.
Combine that with the Obama cell phone woman, which was amazing.
Yeah. Well, guess who's counting the vote this year? For the first time, a foreign company is counting the vote. A Spanish company, which stock is owned in that company, as I was told by somebody, it's George Soros is an investor in that company. Now, I never actually tracked it down for sure, but why is a Spanish company, why did Obama award a contract to count the federal vote this year for president to a company in Spain?
I don't know. It sounds suspicious to me.
You know what Stalin said? It's not who votes and how they vote, it's who counts the vote.
That's right. Interesting. Well,
we're in trouble.
We're up.
I just hope the turnout is so overwhelming that they can't steal it with a simple 5% or whatever. They're going to have to really, really do massive fraud, and they can't get away with it.
Right. Well, of course, and last week, Congressman Harris said on the air, he said, the only reason that we're still kind of doing okay is everyone else is doing much worse. So people still look to the dollar as valuable. But he said, if we don't make a change in a couple of years, what we're seeing in France and in Europe and parts of Asia are going to be here. There's going to be shortages. There's going to be economic crisis. I mean, we just cannot continue to spend at this rate, which is another thing. All these promises Obama made. And, you know, I am just praying tomorrow night that Romney is able to repeat his performance.
I do, too.
And to make sure that Obama is just as lackluster and disoriented
people
as he was the first time.
People cannot stay home this election and say, I'm not going to vote. You've got to go out there and vote. If you can't vote for Romney, and I can vote for Romney, you're voting against Obama. This is the most crucial election in my lifetime. The very Constitution and our republic will depend on this election. And I pray and hope to God that tomorrow Romney comes in there and just takes the gloves off and does a tap dance all over Obama rhetorically. I mean, there's so much he could go after him with. I mean, this is what we the people want to hear. We want that man called out for the liar and phony and fraud that he is. And if he goes after him, I guarantee you Obama will not be able to handle it. He cannot think on his feet without a teleprompter.
Well, everybody, we're down to the last couple of minutes. Charles, thank you so much for rushing back from your appointment to join us. Everybody, this is very, very serious. Get out, get informed, talk to people. It's a grassroots effort at this point. And
buy Terry's book. Read it.
Buy Terry's book, and let's completely thump the Obama.
What's the URL for the book?
Officersoath.com. Officer's Oath. And everyone who's read it has said, oh, man, I can't believe it. In fact,
it's a beautiful book. And the Obots went on his website and trashed him on Amazon. That's what they are.
Yep.
They're despicable people. They're evil people. They cannot debate you with reason and logic. They just want to destroy you. That's what he wants to do to this country. Obama does, and that's what these people are all about, destroying righteousness and our Constitution and our country.
Well, Charles, I owe you lots
Michael,
of favors, so hopefully the day after we'll have our dinner and celebrate. David, are we done?
Yeah, we've got to go. I appreciate
All right.
it.
All right.